I think that that message, Scott, probably more so important tomorrow than maybe any other Saturday so far this year.
Oh, Johnny, it's a big party already in Baton Rouge. I live about 2 miles from Tiger Stadium, and the traffic and people already coming in with their RVs. And you know, I forget what they did at Vandy in Tennessee, but LSU accepted the SEC rule change to allow them to start selling beer and wine in the stadium. So it's going to be a big party tomorrow. It's a sold-out game. It's your classic Saturday night game in Tiger Stadium kind of atmosphere. Two top 10 teams playing, a night game, it's sold out. Game day's coming. We're supposed to get some cold front come through and get some actual football weather, you know, something in the 60s maybe, you know, by the end of the game. So it'll be nice. It's a game that everyone's been looking forward to since the Texas game, probably.
Now, here's the thing. I've spent a lot of time down on the coast, spent a lot of time in the Baton Rouge, New Orleans area, and my thought, if you're talking about beer and wine, that's great. If it's Oxford, I think more beer than wine there at Tiger Stadium.
Yeah, for sure. It's not a wine and cheese crowd in the stands. You know, we're talking about selling alcohol in the main part of the stadium. They've had it in the suites and the club seats for a long time. So that's more the wine and cheese crowd. This is the blue collar folks who work at the refineries and the shipyards and stuff, and then come to root for the Tigers on the weekend.
All right, so I love the stat. This will be the sixth time that these two teams meet where both teams are ranked in the top 10. And so far in the first five games, the home field advantage has been huge, with the home team winning four the previous five times when these two teams have met, with where both teams are ranked in the top 10. So I bring that up. I like LSU to win this game. I don't see this being a 13.5-point game, though. You know, here's the LSU Tigers at home favored by almost two touchdowns. I think the Florida defense will, you know, be able to slow down a little bit what LSU has been able to do on offense so far this year. I expect LSU to win, but I'm looking at more of a 7-to-10-point kind of game.
Well, that's certainly what it's been in recent years, Johnny. You know, it was the last time they played here in 2015, those two top 10 teams, LSU won by a touchdown. Then they had to play here again in 2016, touching off some bad blood in the rivalry. You know, Florida they moved the game here from Hurricane Matthew after Hurricane Matthew passed through Florida. That game was postponed. They also had to go to Gainesville the last 2 years, won by a point, lost by eight last year, and now they're back here for this one. I was surprised at the line. I really was. I thought LSU would be favored maybe by, you know, 8.5, you know, 9, maybe something like that. And it hasn't moved all that much. I mean, the line we use in the Advocate opened at 14, and I think it's still at 13. So I thought it was to try to draw you know, a lot of money. A kind of line that you see to try to draw money to the Florida side. It hasn't drawn all that much. I think people are figuring, you know, Saturday night home game, not a day game when LSU traditionally doesn't play as well at home, although they have lately played better in day games. But also Florida's coming off a very emotional, physical win at home over Auburn, and it's tough. I think most of the teams that have won a top 10 battle at home then had to go on the road the next week don't win or certainly don't cover. So I think it's probably something that's built into the line as well.
Well, I think the fact too, you look at LSU, they had a bye week the last Saturday of September. Last week they hosted Utah State. You look at Florida, they began earlier than anybody in the Southeastern Conference. They played Miami on the 24th, and then after the bye week, they have played now five straight games. This will be their sixth. And so when you just look from a standpoint, the mental breaks, and I mean, look, coming off back-to-back games with Auburn and now LSU, and, you know, I think that maybe that has something to do with the fact that it favors LSU besides the fact that they're the home team, but also I think that from a mental standpoint, LSU is better prepared for this matchup.
It's a tough schedule in terms of a lot of tough teams on it, and this is the toughest part of the LSU schedule. Florida at Miss State next week, home against Auburn, open date, then they go to Alabama. So the middle third of it's tough, but from a logistical standpoint, it's worked out very well. They played four games, they had an open date, they play four games, they have an open date, they play four games. And so, you know, from that point in terms of rest and healing, they really needed that open date after the Vanderbilt game. They had a lot of defensive players out. They still are trying to bring some guys back this week, Rashard Lawrence, who was the defensive MVP of the Fiesta Bowl, should play but probably won't start. Glenn Logan, another defensive lineman, may not play. Michael Divinity, linebacker, he's coming back. So Kalevon Chessan, they're trying to get him back to full speed and get him to be the really pass-rushing threat that they've expected him to be and hasn't materialized so far this year. So the open date and then the Utah State game, as you said, came at good times for LSU, and they're kind of, you know, being able to peak a little more. Now Florida on their side, too, they've gotten back some key defensive players as well. But obviously they're operating at a bit of a deficit with the quarterback situation with Trask, who's played well, but then you got to figure he's going to be somewhat limited mobility-wise and maybe throwing-wise with that sprained MCL he had against Auburn.
I was shocked that he came back in the second half against Auburn. The way he got rolled up, I thought, there's no way. Now, he may be back in a week, but there's just no way, and there he was. I don't know what happened. I don't know if the brace was put on. I don't know if there was a nice massage therapist or whatever the case may be, but he looked like nothing ever happened to him.
Now, he's played well. I mean, you know, people say, yeah, he's a more consistent thrower. You know, doesn't make as many passing mistakes as Felipe Franks did. Now, he's fumbled the ball, and that's been a point of emphasis for Florida in practice this week. He has had several fumbles. Joe Burrow had a fumble last week too that LSU recovered. But Florida, they need this to be. I think the cleaner the game, the better it is for LSU, Johnny. You know, the fewer the turnovers, sacks, penalties, that sort of thing. Florida needs to kind of muddy this one up a little bit. You know, they need to force some LSU turnovers. They're very good at forcing turnovers. They turn the ball over a lot. LSU does not turn over that much, but they don't force a lot of turnovers either, although they did have three interceptions against a very good quarterback, a really highly rated quarterback, Justin Love, for Utah State last week, Jordan Love. But they need it to be some key turnovers, and LSU's got to avoid something that they have done several times this year, which is turn the ball over in their own end of the field, like inside their 20. They did against Texas and managed to not give up any points. They had a scoop and score against Vandy. You know, Vandy scored 38 points. Two of those were on defensive touchdowns. And they had one against Utah State last week and held them to a field goal. So that's important. LSU tries to avoid those kind of mistakes because Florida certainly has shown an ability to be very opportunistic in terms of those kind of turnovers.
Scott Rebele joining us again. He's with The Advocate down in Baton Rouge. I look at the Florida Gators, and to me, the key for them is the fact that you look at the defensive side of the ball. Because first and foremost, not even close, this will be the toughest defense that LSU has faced so far this year. But you look at the fact that it's not just one-sided how Florida is able to control opposing teams' offenses. You know, overall, they're 11th in the nation in total defense. They do an outstanding job as far as holding opponents with the, you know, curtailing what they want to try to do as far as with their run game. Same thing applies to their pass game as well. But the most important thing, scoring defense, number 5 in the country, allowing only 9.5 points per contest. It makes me wonder if LSU is struggling early on and they get frustrated, how they'll respond, especially when the game moves into the second half.
Well, that's a very good question because that just hasn't happened for LSU this year, in this season. I mean, yes, they did. They only led Utah State 7-6 at the end of the first quarter. You know, the touch they scored on their first drive and a couple of field goals, but they usually come out and strike pretty quickly. And you get used to that, and it can throw you off your stride if that doesn't happen. But then LSU has shown a propensity for striking, for scoring so quickly. I mean, Florida could stop them in a couple of possessions, and then LSU could have a minute 30 scoring, you know, a touchdown drive or something like that. And LSU's got to make those drives count too. They're very good in red zone scoring, but you got to make sure that they're getting touchdowns and not just settling or field goals. I think they would play into Florida's hands. But yeah, it's the classic irresistible force against the immovable object. I mean, Florida leads the SEC, not, as you said, 9.5 points a game. LSU leads the nation, and I still can't believe I'm saying this about LSU, like several weeks into a season, not just after one or two weeks. LSU leads the nation in scoring, 54.6 points per game.
Right.
After all the struggles with offense we've seen with LSU over the years, it's still hard to believe I'm actually saying that.
Now,
but it's very true. And of course,
in all fairness, though, other than ninth-ranked Texas, they played Georgia Southern, Northwestern State, Vanderbilt, that's awful on defense, and Utah State. So, you know, now that we're getting into looking ahead with Florida, Mississippi State, Auburn, and Alabama, especially number one, number three, and number four on that list I just gave out, we'll see exactly where LSU's offense is. Because right now, the numbers are staggering. I get that. But honestly, this will be the first true defense you've gone up against this year as far as the Tigers are concerned.
Well, that's certainly true. And I think, you know, you look at, you know, people will look at Florida's game against Auburn and how, you know, how they shut them down, forced some turnovers with Bo Nix. You know, but that's a freshman quarterback going on the road for his first real big road test, and this is a fifth-year senior in Burrow who's playing at home, a guy who's really good at checking down. Todd Grantham, the Florida defensive coordinator, said the difference in the offense is Auburn makes its adjustments pre-snap, LSU makes them post-snap, and Burrow's been very good at adjusting. Yeah, Florida's secondary is very good. Their pass rush is very good. I think Florida's going to try to. I think they're going to try to bring pressure with you know, four or five up front and then drop, you know, six or seven in coverage. But Burrow's been very good at, you know, LSU's putting five receivers out there, checking at one's covered, going to two, two's covered, going to three or four. If he's got the time to do that, that's going to be tough for Florida. But it's definitely a fascinating experiment, I guess you'd say, for LSU. Because Texas, you know, had a, you know, they had the old DBU thing going back and forth, and neither team played very good pass defense in that game. Both teams rolled up a lot of yards through the air in that game, and I think this by far, as you said, will be their best test. LSU's got to try to make Florida, you know, beat them through the air. You know, Florida's not been a real consistent team on the ground, but it's that is the matchup. You know, can Burrow and this offense defeat Florida's defense, especially their passing defense, which is so good.
Well, and there's a couple of other things at work here, too. You know, we look at LSU and the stretch after the bye week, Utah State, but then the next 3 weeks, Florida at home, next week at Mississippi State, followed up with a home game against Auburn. I thought this back in July, and I still think of it, the same thing applies today, is that I don't see LSU surviving all three games. I expect wins the next 2 weeks. But I think because of that stretch with those three opponents, I think it catches up with them when Auburn comes to town on the 26th. And the same thing I said about Auburn, the fact that they had in back-to-back-to-back weeks a road game at Texas A&M, home game against Mississippi State, and then they had to travel down to take on Florida in Gainesville. I expected the first two. I just thought they would slip up in that third one just because of the mental challenge that they're having to deal with. But as far as LSU tomorrow night, I don't think that applies. I think this will be a game that LSU will win, and it'll be a closer score than indicated, but I don't think that you ever get the impression that Florida's going to win the game, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I think it's kind of a tough spot for Florida. I really think the Miss State game is the tough spot for LSU, having to go on the road next week. You know how good Florida is. You heard so much about Auburn's defense. Miss State is a team that, you know, they're good, but you don't think of them in terms of the Gators or the Auburn Tigers, and certainly Alabama coming down the road. I think that's the tough stretch. Auburn's got to show me that they can come in and beat LSU for the first time in 20 years, especially with a freshman quarterback who is gaining experience every week. I admit, but and a great defense. But I think next week's game is the trap, if you will, up in Starkville, and where it gets very, very loud, Johnny. I've never been in a game there. Not the biggest stadium in the world, but with those cowbells and the NBA-type sound system they got, it's very loud. It's at the Davis Wade Stadium.
Yeah, that wouldn't be the word I would describe. I think annoying would be the word I would describe, but that's just me.
I'll take him over the Vanderbilt Whistler, Johnny. I'm sorry to say. I'll take him over the Whistler.
Scott Revelle joining us once again. You know, so far, I'm trying to think, especially a year that we're celebrating 150 years of college football, I'm thinking of great quarterbacks in LSU history with Joe Burrow, because it's worthy to start bringing up and thinking of him in that class, especially for when you think about just one solid season. And I go back to Burt Jones. That's one name that pops up. How about you? Has anybody even started thinking along those lines of what he's doing so far this year and how he would rank with some other great quarterbacks in for one season, not a career, but one season in LSU history?
It's interesting you bring that up. The three honorary captains tomorrow are LSU's three national championship winning quarterbacks: Warren Rabb from the 1958 team, Matt Mock from the 2003 team, and Matt Flynn from the 2017. None of those guys who you'd say are all-time greats as far as LSU is concerned. I think of the best quarterbacks. I think of Burt Jones, who was my favorite player as a kid growing up, and LSU's only consensus All-American quarterback. Y.A. Tittle, of course, is an NFL Hall of Famer. Had a greater career in the NFL, a very long career, than he did in college, really. But a very good quarterback in his day. And Rohan Davey had such a tremendous year in 2001. They really opened up the passing game in the second half of that year, if you may recall, with Josh Reed, won the Biletnikoff Award. And he still holds the passing record. But but Burrow's got, with the way they throw the ball at it, yes, the defense is getting tougher. The LSU record for touchdowns in the season is 28. He's already got 22. If he stays healthy, he's going to break that record. Davey, he's thrown for 1,800-something yards. Davey holds the record like 33-47. You know, that record's probably going to fall if he stays healthy, just in the regular season. I mean, Joe is going to rewrite a lot of regular season records and could well go down as the greatest quarterback LSU's ever had if he can somehow keep it up. Like I said, it's hard to imagine, as we've said, it's hard to imagine that he can, that his offense can, given the defense they have to play. I certainly don't think they're going to be hanging 40 and 50 points on Alabama and Auburn and Florida. But he's the number two. He's the number two choice for the Heisman right now. Of course, you know, award the Heisman in October. So he's in that conversation. He's in that mix. And certainly, has made a tremendous stride from where he was the first half of last year. Started to see it late last year. And, of course, he and this offense are just taking off. New offense, of course, in 2019.
The one stat, once again, that stands out to me, and you alluded to it earlier, but the fact that last year in 13 games, LSU had 23 touchdown drives of under 3 minutes –